This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, so much for Deion Sanders throwing his weight around in this draft process. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We get back to the Sweet 16 in just a moment. We'll update you on all the results from last night and get you set for tonight. But, Pearl, we were told by Deion, that he was definitely going to get involved. He was going to steer Shador and Travis Hunter, who's like a son to him, away from certain NFL teams, and they were going to manipulate this process, and they were pretty open about it. And, well, it looks like that's all going by the wayside. Let's hear a little from Deion, who was talking to Skip Bayless yesterday. Skip's still around.
Skip.
That Deion Sanders, let's hear cut 8, please, man. He says Shador has told him where he wants to go, and ultimately they're fine wherever.
Shador has told me, he's talked to me intently about all the visits he's had with all the teams, so I know where his heart is. I know where he wants to go. If it's New York, it's New York. If it's Tennessee, if it's Cleveland, if it's still the Raiders, if it's New Orleans, if it's any of those teams that are seeking a quarterback, I'm happy with it, man, because I know what he's going to do to the organization. I know what he's going to do.
Okay, so Pearl, markedly different from Deion from a couple months ago, saying we're going where we want to go here. Now it's everything's open. Everything, the world's our oyster.
Well, it's true. He did say I was going to get involved, but he also said nice things about Cleveland. To me, was a signal. I don't think Deion is going to make his son fall in the draft. I heard, Shador, we want him to go high. That's our number one priority. We don't necessarily care as much. All those scenarios, by the way, you can squint and see them all about equal. You know, the Raiders and Saints are indoors. Cleveland's got Kevin Stefanski. The Giants is New York. So honestly, to me, that makes sense too from a football standpoint. Is any one of those situations far worse or far better than the other? They're all top 10 in the lottery. They're all struggling teams. So I think if there was one really bad one, I think you think Cleveland is that team. But still, it's not that different than the other three teams we described.
Yeah, the only thing about Cleveland and why I thought Deion would get involved if Cleveland was really telegraphing, like, hey, we are going to take Shador, is because you've got this whole Deshaun Watson mess that now, by no fault of your own, Shador, no fault of your own, you have nothing to do with this, but now you're asked to be the palate cleanser and the distraction from what may go down as the worst trade in the history of the NFL. Add to it, this is the factory of sadness for a reason. They don't have, no coach has a great history of developing quarterbacks in that organization. It's one of those, the fish stinks from the head. I do think it has to do with ownership. And so I could see Cleveland. Now, he didn't mention the New York Jets. I don't know if the Jets are one of those teams he might want to steer him away from, but the way that Deion's talking, it's like, all right, whoever wants to take my son, take my son.
I mean, honestly, the Giants just gave Saquon away last year. I mean, they're not. What is so great about that organization?
Fair, but they might like the market. Maybe they like being in New York.
And the Raiders are just as bad as Cleveland. The Raiders have been a disaster.
Yeah, but Tom Brady is there now.
So what? I mean, what is, have they done one move that's any different than what the Raiders would have done if Tom Brady wasn't there?
I like the trade for Geno Smith. You know, you and I are different on that
but
one.
But, I mean, still, it's a move that Mark Davis certainly would have made. I mean, it's not out of character. And then New Orleans has nothing. They have nothing to be
attacked. Well, Kellen Moore now. It depends if you really think that he's a great offensive coordinator. We have no idea what kind of head coach he's going to be. But
yeah, to me, Kellen Moore is a there's no positives about New Orleans except that it's indoors and they have Kellen Moore. I think Stefanski's probably the best coach of that whole list. X's and O's.
Well, Pete Carroll is a Super Bowl winning head coach.
No, I mean for a quarterback to put up big numbers.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, no, not winning games. I think Shador is going to look at Stefanski and say, "Ooh, I want part of that offense." So anyway, I think they're all the same. If they're, I don't think any of these are great situations for Shador. Now I think Deion's looking at the situation, saying, "I don't want my son to fall. I don't want him to be embarrassed. So I'm definitely not going to disincentivize any of these teams from taking him."
So, with Deion yesterday saying on Skip Bayless's podcast, I guess, that he's not going to stand in the way. He knows where Shador wants to go, and it seems like they keep connecting these dots between New York, so the Giants, I guess. But he's not going to stand in the way, and he's happy wherever he goes. It made me think two things. Either one, they already know where he's going, right? Like, back channel, I'm not saying, like, everything's rigged. I'm just saying they have a thought of where he's going, and they might feel confident about the information that they have. And two, Deion saw that not everyone has a first round grade on Shador, and now it's like a beggars can't be choosers kind of thing. To your point, like, you just don't want him to fall and have like an Aaron Rodgers situation where this would not happen because Shador's not going to Green Bay for the draft, but where the camera keeps going on you, like a Will Levis a couple years ago, cameras on you, teams keep coming and going, and now that you're the narrative for night one is how far you fell.
Do you think Deion knows?
I think he might.
Well, I was actually thinking Geno Smith, when he fell in the draft, he was positive he was going to be, I think then Oakland Raiders in the first round. It was a done deal in his head. Usually when a guy thinks he knows, the draft is wild. So that can backfire. But Deion is more connected than most normal NFL dads.
Well, the other part, too, and again, we're talking about Deion Sanders saying he's not going to step in wherever Shador lands, he lands, and not going to try to manipulate this like Archie Manning did for Eli or anything like that. But here's the other part. You know how we always hear these stories after the draft from guys where they're like, yeah, so-and-so said, if you fall to here, we're taking you.
Yeah.
And then it turns out not to be true.
All the time.
You can do that to the offensive lineman from North Dakota. You can't do that to Deion. I don't think that teams would lie to Shador, right? Like, if they're telling him, if the Raiders are saying, if it's six, you're not getting past six. If you're still there at six, we're taking you. While that could generally be BS for a lot of people, I don't think GMs and coaches, I think they have enough respect for Deion. They're not going to blow smoke.
That's a good point. Aaron Rodgers fueled his entire career over teams telling him they were going to take him and not taking him.
Right.
So I think that is the norm, but I totally agree. I don't think you mess with Deion. You don't want that smoke.
No, and it's just a respect thing. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, new theories abound, because it's Rodgers, so there's got to be a theory not far behind. New theories abound for Aaron Rodgers. And, Perloff, you said Mike Florio is bringing people's attention to this one.
A lot of people. It's Florio and half of Pittsburgh is talking about this one.
So here's the situation. Pat McAfee, who's obviously a longtime friend of Aaron Rodgers, is hosting a live show in Pittsburgh on April 9th. So there's a lot of people who believe, well, why is Rodgers not signed with the Steelers yet? Perhaps this is all culminating in a McAfee live show where Aaron Rodgers walks into the arena wearing a Steelers 8 jersey. Is 8 been retired by the Steelers? 12 has. Whatever number. And all of a sudden the crowd goes nuts, and this is actually like a full setup and a spectacle, and the Rodgers era in Pittsburgh begins.
Yeah. That's a long time to wait, by the way. So right now it's March 28th. The Steelers are probably a little anxious. Wouldn't you imagine? Because the Giants eventually just gave up and signed Russell Wilson. I know they're saying, or the Giants are out on Rodgers, I assume, right?
Rodgers, yes, but not Shador.
Not Shador. So I think at a certain point, the Steelers are going to get very nervous. If they have to wait till April 9th, their first practice is April 21st. So it is definitely not ideal.
So here's the thing, though. Yeah, I get it. I'd be nervous, too. But except for what? Minnesota suddenly coming back out of the woodwork? Who are you really worried about? It doesn't look like Rodgers has any other options except for Pittsburgh. I think if it was retirement, he'd retire. You know, I think he would have done that already.
Okay, so you are the Pittsburgh GM, Omar Khan. You are not tempted to pick up the phone and say, Joe Flacco, come on board.
You're not yet. Not yet.
So you're waiting for Rodgers.
You got to poker hand this thing, poker face.
April 9th. That's a
Joe
long
Flacco?
Time. That's 12 more days without a QB1. Or pull the trigger and bring Kirk Cousins there, which had steam last offseason.
Yeah, but that's two to tango. Like, you got to wait for the Falcons to be ready to do that, too. And okay. I don't know when they are.
I got a third one.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz, because he can be a backup to Rodgers, and him and Kenny Pickett can battle for number two. And if you get stuck, then you have Wentz and Pickett going.
For Cleveland, you're talking about?
For Pittsburgh.
Well, Kenny Pickett's not there.
Oh, not Kenny Pickett. Mason Rudolph. Sorry. Mason Rudolph. Carson Wentz can be a backup. You could thread the needle and get a guy who'll be happy being number two behind Aaron Rodgers and then just move Rudolph to three.
Yeah.
Just get another body in there.
I know. I feel like you have to stop making Carson Wentz a thing. It's not a thing. He's not a thing anymore.
Make it like Jameis Winston, 2 years, $8 million.
No one's signing Carson Wentz for 2 years. I don't think people want him in the building barely for 1 year. Why didn't Kansas City just keep him as the backup? There's something about this dude that people don't generally like.
You don't think he could sign a 1 year for, he couldn't sign for $4 million guaranteed like Jameis?
Oh, no, he definitely can, but I think he's going to be one of the very last people to sign.
Yeah.
I think it bodes well for him that they didn't bring him back in Kansas City.
I think he probably wanted a better situation, right? I bet you, what did they signed Minshew, didn't they? Probably for 1 year, $3 million or something. I think he wants to play.
Well, who's giving him that indication? And then he's delusional. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So we've got Dion saying he's not going to get involved with Shador and wherever he goes. So that's a reverse. And we've also got Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Everyone's in the dark. Well, at least the Steelers are, but perhaps it is this McAfee thing that's going to happen.
Rodgers is also probably in the dark right now.
You know, he said he was never going to do one of those darkness retreats again.
Oh, sure. I believe what Aaron Rodgers says.
I don't think that's something you do twice. Sounds awful.
Well, he's done the ayahuasca trip many times. And
yeah, but
that doesn't sound super fun, to be honest.
I don't know. Did you watch Enigma? I know you did.
Yeah.
The Netflix documentary? He's sitting there with a bleep-eating grin on his face talking about caterpillars turning into butterflies and stuff. He looked like he was having a great old time.
Oh, I don't know.
All the more reason to go do it a second time.
I think he's done it like five times.
Go do it a sixth time.
I would think that at a certain point that got old. It looks like a lot of work.
The drugs or
yeah,
the
doing an ayahuasca trip.
Yeah,
like, how many psychic breaks do you need?
He played for the New York Jets. I think there's an unlimited amount.
He's due for a tune-up. I don't know. This is like LeBron James, not one, not two, not three. We have no idea how high this could go.
How high? Ha, ha, ha.
I don't know. I think it's one of those things where, yeah, you're like puking your guts out. You're crying.
Like Maggie on Tuesday.
Yeah, just like me. I wish I could have blamed it on the drugs.
Three, not four.
I think that you go through all of that, but then at the end, everyone looks smiling. They're all crying and hugging each other.
Yeah, yeah. And then they claim they're on some spiritual journey and they just didn't get high for 3 days. I love it.
Sounds like an excuse of just the guys to go get high.
That's like when people try and say marijuana is like a health tool. That cracks me up. Or one glass of red wine is good for you. You're getting high. Just admit it.
Perloff sees everything very black and white when it comes to this stuff.
The studies that read one glass of red wine is good for you, fueled by the Ernest and Gallo industry.
By the Franzia company? Wait a minute, yeah, what?
That study led by Manny Rodriguez.
It's just a more evolved smoking is good for your digestion take. Aaron Rodgers is out there in the
study
jungle
led by Stu
high.
Kovacs.
You're telling me that big wine is behind this?
No, I just think that, you know, trying to find a chemical solution to a spiritual problem, as they say, he could do as much ayahuasca as he wants. That is not going to solve all his problems. And he kind of thinks it is.
You mean a chemical solution doesn't solve all types of problems?
It does for about 2 hours. Then you come down, Manny, like you are right now.
Damn it.
Yeah, Manny, what got into you last night?
Yeah, what
night?
Happened
what
last night? We got a photo. We got a fun photo. Was that last night?
Yes, that was last night. I went out to a Buffalo Wild Wings to consume the college basketball. Oh, like a gentleman. Like
so
a gentleman,
fun.
I may ask.
No, that's great. We have no problem with that, but I saw you out on the couch. Looked like you died.
Well, no, here's the issue. I can't fall asleep, so I'm on like 3 hours of sleep. I was in bed for like 10 o'clock, but I just couldn't fall asleep. So that's why I'm a little sleepy. But you know what? The caffeine is in my veins right now.
Yeah, that will balance it out.
I got to tell you that I watched the Sunday's games in a sports bar. NCAA tournament sports bars.
The best.
The best ever.
Yeah, it was a pretty fun experience.
And also, everyone's betting, too, so they're cheering for things that you don't even quite understand why they're so upset about.
Manny, what flavor wings did you get?
Lemon pepper. That's the go-to. And we also shared, what was it, like honey barbecue? Something like that. Delicious. Well, they know what they're doing in Buffalo Wild Wings.
It's like just going to a pro, you know?
But you go to reliable.
But you go to a B-Dubs in Buffalo. Then that's there's only one Buffalo Wild Wings in Western New York. You can't do that.
No,
that's frowned upon.
You got to go local.
Yeah, it's going to Taco Bell and like you know,
Mexico
El Paso,
City
and El Paso. You know,
it's sacrilege.
I don't think we have Taco Bells
in Mexico.
I don't think so.
I'd hope not.
I would hope not either.
888-710-4ISN 888-710-4476. However, if Taco Bell would like to jump on this show, that is.
Cheesy Gordita Crunches, please.
Distributed right here out of the U.S. of A. Then we're happy to have you on
board. Extra Chipotle sauce for me, please. Thank you very much.
Apparently, Taco Bell tried to, in this article, conquer Mexico.
Okay. What a concept of words right there. Conquer Mexico.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, we've heard of that one before.
Anyway, they did not go well, and they were out of business by 2008.
I was in Rome, and I went to a Sbarro.
Best slice in Italy. That's what they say.
Yeah.
Okay, let's quickly get to the phones because we're covering a lot of ground here today, but we want to get to a topic that we stumbled upon because we're doing a bracket of the greatest movie sequels of all time. Sorry if you're getting a little whiplash on how many topics we're covering here. We're doing greatest movie sequel bracket of all time, which got us into just the greatest movie villains of all time. Derek is in Baltimore. What's up, Derek?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Great.
I got two villains. One, Scar from The Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys remember the good son, Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, Macaulay Culkin, so bad in that movie. Wait, hold on 1 second, though, Derek. So I put Jafar as my, like, animated villain. I think Jafar is a bigger villain than Scar. I know Scar's got the brother thing, so that's like another level of betrayal. But again, they're lions, guys. It's the circle of life. Like, Jafar's a human being with free will, and he decided to turn into an all-powerful genie, and he was going to take Jasmine, and he had the Sultan under a spell. He was going to throw Aladdin into the ocean.
Circle of life doesn't include a lion killing a lion.
Well, you know,
brothers.
It's the Sahara.
Brother. I agree. Scar.
And not only that, he tried to kill his nephew. So you did kill your brother.
Yeah.
But he tried to kill his own nephew. I don't know. The only way you can go higher than that is if you kill your parents.
I don't know, Derek.
Derek's spinning bars this morning.
You are really good, Derek. Thank you. It's the animal kingdom. You're judging animals different than you are humans.
Animal Kingdom, Maggie is his brother and his nephew.
Aladdin wasn't exactly a documentary.
Bro, we're talking about animated movies.
Yeah, with a genie. Well, you know, carpets can't really fly.
Huh? What?
We're talking about life, guys. It's lions eating lions. It's what happens. And we're talking about an animated movie here, guys.
She's like, Jafar is a human. And by the way, I don't even know. Like,
what about Ursula from Little Mermaid? Yeah. She was really evil.
Or you could go, the evil queen is high up on these lists of villains, too.
The Snow White you're talking about? The Poison Apple?
One of them. Or the one in Cinderella. I don't know. Is that
that's the evil stepmother. Oh, she is rough.
Who is Snow White's Maleficent? Sequels?
Yes. Most of it. Yeah.
Is that Snow White?
Yep.
Disney knows how to make a villain.
You know who is not being mentioned, who I think would have been mentioned before this year? The Wicked Witch of the West.
What about...
good point. She's off the list.
Cruella de Vil.
Cruella DeVille.
Yeah,
animal
lady.
Cruelty.
Yeah, she was not nice. Yeah.
You can't wear furs anymore.
And well,
very not
another
PC.
Crazy. I think I'm wearing one. Killing kids and dogs, or trying to kill kids and dogs.
Well, yeah. I know, as a person who's had to watch Disney's Descendants at least 1,000 times in my life, I know all about these people. Have you watched? Gotten into that yet?
No, not yet.
So you guys know that, right?
Is it just the villains?
It's the villain. It's the kids of the villains. So you have Maleficent's kid, you have Cruella DeVille's kid, Jafar's kid, and one other.
Man, imagine who's the poor sucker who's married to Cruella DeVille.
Well, it's funny. They don't. None of them have partners in this. They're all divorced.
Ernesto de la Cruz, bad guy.
Cruella DeVille from not Coco. Being able to keep a man is not surprising.
My vote is for Ernesto de la Cruz from Coco.
And who's final the answer. One? Who's Ursula again?
The Little Mermaid. She steals her voice, then she steals her man.
I think.
What do you know? Yeah. What?
Do you know who voiced her? Was that? I want to say that was Roseanne Barr.
I thought it was Rosie.
Or Rosie O'Donnell?
I have no idea. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Again, covered a lot of ground there. You want to weigh in on Deion Sanders not getting involved with where Shador's going to get drafted? Go ahead. You want to talk about Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers? We're open to it. And greatest movie villains of all time. And what else did you say, my Erie J?
All right, Pat Carroll was who voiced.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a famous person. But
I don't know why I thought it was too.
Okay, lots more to do, including got to check in on the Cowboys. What's making news in Dallas? We'll tell you next.
All right, we're back on Maggie and Perloff, and you know what that music means. I have no idea what that. I know that means our Cowboys quickie. Mm-hmm. What have those wacky Dallas Cowboys been up to, Meg?
Well, we brought you a story yesterday that the NFL is outlawing CeeDee Lamb's signature first down celebration.
We botched that story horribly yesterday, is what you meant to say.
To be honest, I still don't know what it means.
No, we have no idea. The nose wipe celebration is banned.
The nose wipe is gone. We don't know what it means. Maybe Bogus has an update on what it means. But anyway, as he walking in, gave me a look. But the Cowboy quickie here is the update where CeeDee Lamb is saying, fear not. He says he's got like 6 more celebrations just ready to go in the back pocket. Oh, so expect something new and improved from CeeDee Lamb.
By the way, did you see the latest out of this competition committee? Diana Rossini, our pal, tweeted today that banning the tush push is gaining major momentum and it looks like it's going to happen. What is going on with this league?
Thank how the football soft, gods.
How
crushed.
Soft have they become? Here's the exact wording from Diana. Momentum around banning the tush push is growing, per Diana Rossini. I feel like it's getting more momentum in terms of those opposed to it than I've ever heard before. That means they're floating. Let's get rid of it and see what people react.
Well, none of us are going to miss it, except for you guys. Except for your Philadelphia Eagles.
I thought your team, the Buffalo Bills, also use it.
Yeah, they do. They run it a lot, but not as successfully as your team. So get rid of it. That's your Cowboy quickie. CeeDee Lamb will have a brand new celebration. No more nose wipe. Bogues, did you ever find out what it means?
No, I was just laughing again at the silence in the room when you suggested that it was something naughty. That's all.
Listen, we all have our theories.
I still see gang sign or related, but I don't know the specifics of anything like that.
See, the only thing about it being a gang, potential gang related, first of all, I don't think we've ever heard of anything else. CeeDee Lamb has never been gang related, but a lot of other guys started doing it. And if it's a gang thing, like, you got to be in the know about that, don't you?
I mean, could it have started in a bad place and then got a little, like, mainstream and guys didn't realize what they were doing? And now the NFL is coming in and saying, hey, origins of this are bad. We need to stop it.
Oh, wow. Jesus. There's heavy stuff on it being a gang sign. I had no idea.
Yeah, but no one's ever linked CeeDee Lamb to that.
No. I don't think anyone's saying that CeeDee Lamb is gang-related. It's just that he might be doing something unknowingly that has bad connotations.
Right. You don't have to be in a gang to pay homage to.
A gang?
I would do it.
One of the famous players
I wouldn't
who...
I would do it.
I'm not in the Latin Kings, but...
A lot of NBA players who've been accused of flashing gang signs.
John Wall, whenever he would hit a 3 for the Wizards, I mean, he would do a lot of hand movements. Yeah, just call it that.
And then a lot of people would start copying John Wall, probably not knowing what John Wall was
not doing. Knowing what John Wall was throwing up.
Yeah, but that's I saw a video the other day. It's a kind of a controversial topic. What's actually a gang sign?
Right.
I have no idea.
We're probably the last show in America to figure that out, but... Anyway, CeeDee Lamb has plenty more in store for us. So I'm excited to see what he comes up with next. I've got another story that I think is a really big deal, that Perloff is saying is not a big deal at all. So stop me if you've heard that before. Guys, I think Abdul Carter not working out at the Penn State Pro Day, that to me feels like a big deal. He didn't work out at the Combine. We know he's coming off the shoulder injury. Okay, fine. He basically played a half of football in a college football semifinal without a shoulder and still was dynamite. It's the foot. Guys, it's the feet. Did Dr. Rock Positano teach us nothing when he brings a live foot onto this show?
But Drew Rosenhaus didn't say foot yesterday. He said shoulder.
What? Drew Rosenhaus? Of course he's not going to bring more attention. He's his agent.
But why did nobody follow up on this? That's what I was reading in this course. I'm like, well, why didn't anybody say what about the foot? Because the story that I read then shifts into his old quotes from the combine, dismissing the foot and saying we'll be fine by the pro day. But he didn't say, he blamed this on the shoulder. He blamed today on the shoulder.
Was it an interview, though? Was it anyone there to follow up?
It wasn't like a, I don't think it was a written statement. Because there was multiple quotes in the story.
I just think when you start talking about athlete's feet, not athlete's foot. Not the tough actin, ten actin John Madden used to show for.
Boom.
But when you start talking about an athlete's feet, it is a dangerous territory there. And whether or not he needs surgery or doesn't, he's not getting the surgery now. I don't know if his draft stock is going to fall, but it might spook me because he's saying he's 90%. I'm 100%. You can say all you want. Run the 40. Work out at your pro day.
When I said it was no story, I'm not saying it's no story. I was saying when he said at the end of February that I'm going to run the 40 on March 28th, everyone's like, you are? That was the comment. Like, that seems, and he's like, yes, I'm going to do a Herculean effort. Most of us said that didn't make any sense.
Well, again, sorry, Penn State's pro day is today. So I should mention that. So it's today. I feel like I remember that story differently. I feel like at the combine, he said he wasn't going to run, but then at the pro day, like guys who didn't run at the combine are running at their pro day.
But didn't everyone say, wow, that's incredible? I think we all said, that's incredible. He can't run now and he's going to be ready in a month.
He keeps saying he's so close. He just is healed. He's this, he's that. But again,
you got to be
not working out.
You got to be close to 100% to run that 40 because you'll get labeled with that number if you're.
Xavier Restrepo has been saying that he had a hamstring injury when he ran that 4.8 as a wide receiver.
But yeah, once you get it, you can never get rid of it.
Is he still injured? And what does that mean?
Definitely. 1,000% he's still injured. And do you think the title game was the third week in January or second week in January? He definitely still has a shoulder injury. He was doing a Shohei where he was holding one arm and rushing the quarterback.
I'm not worried about the shoulder. I'm worried about the feet. I'm worried about the feet, and I guess here's my question. If he gets taken, let's say, second overall by the Browns or whatever it is, and let's say he can't get through training camp. I mean, I know he's, got all the talent in the world, and he's got the super high ceiling. The foot thing would worry me as a team. I'm just saying that.
I mean, the other side of it, too, is also worrying because if it is his shoulder, and they, again, like as you said, Drew Rosenhaus said at the combine, they were targeting today, the pro day, to be on the field.
Right.
So if we believe him, that means now the shoulder is behind schedule in recovering from whatever the actual injury is. So is the shoulder actually a problem or the problem, an additional problem? Like, if I trust him, there's still something wrong that he's not on the field today because they thought he was going to be out there.
Yeah.
So for some reason, they're off schedule now.
Right. Like, I don't know. I just felt like this was kind of big news. I'm like, oh, man, I thought Abdul Carter was going to be doing stuff today. But
I think it's big news particularly because the Browns seem to be so cavalier about not getting a quarterback.
Right.
So it's like, well, all right, we're not getting a quarterback. You have a can't-miss edge rusher. Then I guess maybe we can kind of squint and see it. Well, if you're telling me that can't-miss guy is an injury risk, well, then it's kind of takes the whole calculation to a different conversation about, well, should you be looking at a quarterback then? Because maybe Abdul Carter isn't a guy you just plug in for 10 years and he gets 10 sacks a season.
Or what about, is Travis Hunter on the board now to go to?
True, too. Exactly.
Well, there's also a risk of passing on a guy because you think he's injured. That ends up biting teams all the time as well. I mean,
Rob Gronkowski is a famous one.
Gronk jumps to mind. I mean, or people pass on guys, passing on Warren Sapp because he failed a drug test. Like, you get burned. Jalen Carter because he was involved in that terrible stuff. I think a lot of teams want to mulligan on that. So, again, I think just because of this, if you pass an Abdul Carter and it turns out that his foot is okay, you might really regret it. Especially, Cleveland, if they don't hit it big here, they're in trouble. I think you're right.
Another one is Miami Dolphins with Drew Brees, thinking that this was not the draft, obviously, but thinking that his shoulder was going to be dead forever, and then he goes on to be a Hall of Famer.
They definitely profited off Dan Marino probably reportedly having failed some tests. Yeah, and that's the only reason he was there for them at the end of the first round in that famous 83 draft. I hope I didn't get in trouble there. But isn't that the rumor? That's out there, right?
You can have the one to yourself.
Well, okay. Dan Marino's a classic faller who fell.
Yeah, but this
and
is different. It's injury. That was rumor. You know, like this is not a rumor. This is Abdul Carter not working out at his pro day at Penn State today, and it's multiple injuries now. It's the shoulder, it's the foot. Andrew Bogish has all the latest for us.
And guys, this is my favorite note from night one of the men's Sweet 16. Alabama did not need a two-pointer to beat BYU in Newark, New Jersey last night. Their single game turning record, 25 Whoa. Threes, plus their 18 free throws were more than enough, but they did hit 10 twos, equaling a 113-88 victory. Guard Mark Sears hit 10 of those triples.
Dang. Once I seen the first three fall in, I felt like the basket was like big as an ocean. And every time I shot, I felt like it was going in. So, yeah, you know, I just lost myself in the game and, you know, just let everything else happen.
Sears finished with 34, and now he hopes to stay hot for tomorrow's East Regional Final with Duke. The Blue Devils stopping a late Arizona push to win 193. Cooper Flagg, 30.6 rebounds, 7 assists, and 3 blocks.
Guy stinks.
Across the country, stay in school. Florida was dismissing Maryland 87-71. Over the last 10 tourneys now, teams are 1-7 in the game following a buzzer beater like the Terps got from Derek Queen last weekend. The freshman did score 27 in defeat last night.
1-7, is that bad?
It is. And finally, we've got Arkansas and Texas Tech. The Razorbacks, led by as many as 16, still up 13 with 4.5 minutes to go, only to find themselves in trouble in overtime.
Shot clock down to 10. Hawkins will give it to Williams. Dribbles over on the right side. Williams trying to back it against Knox. Into the paint. Turns baseline. Pump fake. Puts it up off the glass and in! 7.3 to go.
That's Ryan Radke on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. Darian Williams hooped the game winner because Arkansas missed on the other end. John Calipari's team losing 85-83.
Two teams went at it. Slugfest. And, you know, we're all disappointed here, but I told them there's nothing them individually or my team could do to disappoint me because of what they've done this year.
16 points is the third largest comeback in Sweet 16 history.
Can I update the Maggie and Perloff Pearl Jam Season 4? Our
I wish you
really rather
men's
not.
Bracket yeah. Challenge.
I fell like
why not, folks?
Well, I remain in last place, but
there's like 152 brackets.
What I'm well, last place among us, not last place. Right, I'm thinking on 87 right now. But what is the silver lining for me is that I have more points available than both you two guys.
But nothing could have changed last night. Nobody lost a team last night, did they?
No. Well, our very own Andrew Kaplan, who has been really representing for the show, was tied for first place for the first two rounds of the tournament. Now is tied for second. So for Kaplan, he's really got to hope that Florida continues on this amazing run that they're on.
Feels to me like the brackets haven't even started yet. There's so much chalk in this bracket that we're going to see massive movement.
Well, no, but the problem is EJ's lost a Final Four team.
But not as a winner.
I've lost two
he
Final
lost
Four
his
teams.
National Championship runner-up.
Yep. Right.
Yeah. Like they comes in. Yeah, so that's bad. Right. And I lost BYU, who's an Elite Eight team, so that's also bad. And Arizona, who's a Final Four team as well. So I think I lost two.
Yeah, wow. We've all lost.
Oh, Arizona, no, sorry. Arizona would play Clemson. This bracket's all crazy.
But it is a lot of one seeds still alive.
Oh, yeah. But so the only thing that's keeping me alive is that I haven't gotten anything very wrong yet. I had a lot of stupid one game losses early, but I have all four Final Four teams left. But I have some points still to make up, more so than I think EJ and you two guys.
I'm in trouble.
This would be a Texas Tech-like comeback for you, folks.
Yeah, does anyone have Texas Tech in our bracket in the Final Four? I'd be curious to see. Or any winners. I think there might be one person who picked them to win. That'd be amazing.
I'm looking at the standings right now. I'm not seeing any Texas Tech, at least in the first 50 or so.
I just don't want to be last. And that's fourth out of our group is the best I can do.
There's a Sean Chairs who has Texas Tech winning it all.
Yeah, I thought I saw a TT in
he's
there.
He's 116th, though.
Got him right where you want him, Sean.
Much like his team last night.
Just waiting for the sniper
The rest
move.
Of us are Arkansas.
He's going to have a 13-point comeback.
We'll never see it coming.
NBA hoops. The Thunder won their eighth in a row last night, 125-104 over the Grizzlies. That is their team record 61st victory overall. Josh Giddey nailed a half-court three at the buzzer to get the Bulls a 119-117 win over the Lakers. And the Heat beat the Hawks 122-112. Atlanta losing clinches a playoff spot for the Knicks. Steph Curry and his bruised pelvis practice yesterday. He is questionable now for the Warriors game in New Orleans tonight. And Gonzaga legend Drew Timmy just signing a multi-year deal with the Brooklyn Nets.
Shut up, really?
After averaging nearly 24 points a game for their G League affiliate Long Island.
Wait a minute. Was that your phone feeding you that because we were just talking about Drew Timmy a couple hours ago about guys who came back to college because they didn't have good pro prospects?
No, the Nets email came out with that announcement at 9:15 this morning.
The Long Island Nets are very aggressive with getting out PR.
Yeah, so I know. I can't unsubscribe.
Yeah, I actually got it from them and from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Oy.
Shout out to the Long Island Nets, though. That's cool. Shout out to Drew Timmy, Zag legend.
You going to go to the next game and watch him?
I might. I love Drew Timmy. He's the man. The mustache. You want to talk about a good celebration that's not gang-related? Mustache.
If Drew Timmy was gang-related, that would have been wild.
That's the biggest upset, maybe, in the history of the March Madness. That would have happened.
Drew Timmy being in a gang or me having a MySpace page. Biggest upset.
I mean, Timmy's got you by a million.
Damn it.
One of the things, by the way, top five things that annoy Andre, I talked about the Cam Ward celebration. This was the original Cam Ward, me doing this.
She grew out a mustache. Like that,
Drew Timmy.
She's like, please stop doing that.
Yeah, I can see her getting annoyed.
But Drew Timmy is 35 against Pepperdine.
Against Pepperdine. That Gonzaga schedule, something's got to change. You can't have your only tough team be St. Mary's.
The non-conference is always the toughest.
It's a nice campus on Pepperdine.
Yeah, he loads them up in the beginning, and then we have the West Coast Conference schedule. But Pac-12 coming soon. So
what is the note on, like, it's them and St. Mary's have been the final of that tournament like 22 of the last 23 years. Like, it's ridiculous. They might as well not even play the other rounds. Just go to the final.
It's bizarre, especially because BYU then joined the league for like 5-6 years. And they still couldn't even crack the top two.
Couldn't name you another team that's in that conference. Don't even know what conference. West Coast Conference?
Yeah.
Portland?
Portland, here you got Portland.
Hey, all right.
You
Damian Lillard.
Watch some San Diego. Sure. Not UC San Diego.
Pacific?
It's San Diego.
Pacific
just joined. Yeah, there's another one.
Whoa, yeah, the Tigers.
There's an NBA Hall of Famer who's doing a podcast with LeBron James that's from a West Coast Conference team.
Santa Clara.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, Steve Nash.
Forgot about Santa Clara.
There's also an NBA all-time legend who passed away last year, a couple years ago.
Oh, San Francisco?
Yeah.
Bill Russell?
Yeah.
Oh, they're in that now?
Yeah, they've been the West Coast Conference.
I'd rather you guys get back to breaking down yesterday's Mets game than hear about Gonzaga's schedule, by the way.
No, more about the Zags.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to keep breaking down that game.
No, they did admit it on the Mets earlier. I almost threw up Maggie style in my coffee cup.
Listen, we have Spokane.
I appreciate now that's Maggie style. Yeah. Thank you.
This is going to be the longest Mets season ever. The intensity, the expectations are so big.
We'll spare the audience from that.
Yeah, no, it's just baseball.
I strongly dislike you.
Yeah, baseball's a cruel sport. Oh, you're a Mets fan, Bugs? I thought you were a Yankees fan.
Well, now you've done it.
For those listening on radio, Andrew Bogish is leaving the studio.
He's a Mets fan, too?
He is now very upset.
Oh, he just turned off the lights. Wait a minute. I didn't do anything.
God, you guys really...
Mets fans are sensitive, aren't they?
You guys are really gluttons for punishment on this show.
that's what happens when their $765 million man swings at a ball that's 17 inches off the plate.
All right.
You guys have to do what I do. You guys have to be bandwagon jumpers. Just come aboard. It's so much fun to root for my Dodgers.
Just don't respect it.
As he wears a Phillies hat.
I have two teams. I have two teams.
Both of them in the NL. Whoever two are in first place. That's your two teams. He's first place and second place.
No, he's got six teams, each division leader.
Yeah, right.
It's easier, guys. Trust me. You don't want to go down with the ship.
So here's a funny story. Is it a feel-good story?
I hope not.
I know you guys hate those.
I love pessimism.
Yeah, don't give us any humanitarian. Don't give us any Walter Payton Award stuff. Funny story we would look forward to. Feel-good? No.
All right. It's halfway between a funny and a feel good.
Is anyone embarrassed in this story?
Yes.
Anybody throw up in their coffee cup?
Maybe.
Let's hope not.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Only if I have a cameo is somebody going to be puking in the coffee cup, because apparently now that's my signature move.
Is that something you're not proud of?
No, just so you guys shame me because I kept the cup. Not with the puke in it, of course.
I remember there was a cop on the highway. He said, "Who's that lady with big feet throwing up in a cup?" That's our Maggie Gray. Right?
Who's that sad clown throwing up into a coffee cup?
That's our margarita.
Yep, that's me, guys. What a catch. Maggie and Perloff show. We're back in a minute. All right, combination of a feel-good story but kind of a funny story, too, which is the Hallmark Channel is back, and they're going to be doing another Christmas-related movie. Not with the Chiefs this time, Perloff, but with My Buffalo Bills. Now
no.
It's going to be a love story. What's it called? Holiday Touchdown, a Bills love story.
I love how Damar Hamlin was the guy who they chose to
I bet more
news.
Women know who Damar Hamlin is than Josh Allen. Well, maybe not Josh Allen, but
so
anyone else on the team.
How much Bill? Are we talking about four straight Super Bowl losses? Is that thematically part of it?
Why did that have to be a part of it?
No, I mean, like, why are they picking the Bills? I don't understand the hook. So, I got Travis Kelce. Yeah. I don't understand this. I mean, they had a 9-time MVP last time.
This was the famous line from the Chiefs Christmas movie.
Am I supposed to know who he is?
He's only the best wide receiver in the world. 9-time MVP. He holds the longest record for yards received.
I don't speak football.
Yeah, we can tell.
9-time MVP gets me every time. 9 times it gets me every time. Oh, so funny. Anyway, they're really driving the point home. He must have been really good. But
yards received also.
Yeah, yards received.
Pretty ridiculous.
But now the Bills are getting this treatment. So I don't know. Is it going to be about Josh Allen and Haley Steinfeld? Is it just going to be two Bills fans? Are they going to like
9-time MVP
rub each other in buffalo sauce? I have no idea.
I'm a little jealous here. Okay, so I'm reading the story. The Hallmark chief brand officer said the Chiefs movie did so well that we're going to the Bills. Wouldn't the Eagles be the next team? We just won the Super Bowl.
Can't put the Eagles on Hallmark.
A Hallmark movie where
nothing romantic about the Eagles.
I just see the ultimate scene. One guy would be up on one lamppost and his woman would be on the other lamppost and they would lock eyes. That'd be incredible.
And put that on MTV or MTV or HBO or.
Okay, that's more of a Girls Gone Wild.
True TV.
They're getting matching tattoos
in yards received.
Wildwood, New Jersey somewhere. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a true TV original.
Yeah.
I feel like it starts as a Hallmark and it ends as some kind of real life true crime.
Yeah, I guess Bill's
whatever happened to that chick?
Bill's does have that a bit of a Hallmarky Christmassy feel,
not like Camden, New Jersey.
I don't know. Like, here's the question about the Hallmark movie: like, there's a couple things that are, like falling through a table, getting so drunk you've blacked out and jumped off an RV into a table. Does that make the Hallmark final edit?
Who plays Pinto Ron?
Has there ever been a movie
Pinto Ron himself.
A movie about the Bills? I mean, the Eagles have had
Buffalo 66. But that was a documentary. But
the Vincent Gallo movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking
that was about the Bills.
Yeah, well, he's a disillusioned Bills fan. Yeah.
Oh my God!
Tries to find Scott.
Four Falls of Buffalo was pretty good as well.
But has there ever been like a movie where you actually saw Bills players and stuff? Because the Eagles have two. I wanted to point out Silver Linings Playbook and Invincible with Marky Mark.
Yeah, I mean, Silver Linings Playbook is basically just pointing out how psychotic the fans are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is a love story, though.
That's a good one. If you could get Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence, then
there is a movie in the works. I don't know if it ever came out that was about the Bills fandom. And I kept trying to say, I remember this. Cause I talked about how Maggie should have been in the movie. I guess they never called you.
No, they didn't call me, which I'm a little bummed about.
Come on. What's going on with these people?
I'm telling too much truth for them.
Unbelievable was the movie.
They want to sugarcoat the Bills' history, and I obviously would be here to point out every Nathan Peterman interception because that's just who I am. But
could anyone sugarcoot Bills' history?
They'll find a way, EJ. Look Buffalo, what era we're in.
Buffalo mm-hmm. Bills, a love story.
That's how it's doing it.
Holiday Touchdown, love story.
A love story that begins in East Aurora, New York.
And
where
if this
no
were,
love stories ever start.
What's the next team after the Bills? If it's working so well, who else gets a love story? A Raider? I can't see other teams.
We're going to have a redemption story about Packers. How the quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals overcame his house getting burglarized.
No, how about this? The Cowboys quarterback dates the Cowboys cheerleader.
Oh, right. The Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. That's tale as old as time.
They've never made have they made a Hallmark movie? That seems tailor-made.
Technically, you're not supposed to date. Be skirting the rules. It'd be forbidden love.
Is that true?
Yeah, you're not supposed to. The football players can't date the cheerleaders. There's strict rules about that.
Dallas Cowboys, forbidden love.
There you go. There's strict rules.
It's actually Jerry and Johnny Manziel. Forbidden love.
I mean, are they allowed to date media members? Because that happens a lot. A lot of media members married to athletes.
Frowned upon.
Does that happen?
I think that's more from the media member side that it's a conflict there, that you'd be dating someone you're covering.
Christian and Sam Ponder, I don't know, jumped to mind.
Did he work? Yeah, I don't know. She was covering college. I don't know, but you definitely, the football players can't date the cheerleaders. Maybe they do, but they're not supposed to.
And that's a team rule. Okay. I did not know that.
Yeah, maybe it varies by team.
Holiday touchdown, a Cowboys love story, they will.
I think players have married cheerleaders. That's definitely happened before.
Sure.
I'm sure it must have happened, though. Like, the cheerleader probably retired, right? Like, or quit or whatever. I'm sure they weren't still cheerleading while they were married.
Why not?
I just haven't seen it. Can't think of an example.
I have a list of five players who dated cheerleaders. And you're not going to be surprised that one of them is Robert Gronkowski.
Oh, yeah, Camille. She was a cheerleader. His girl now. Anyway.
Matthew Stafford's, go ahead. I think a lot of college cheerleaders date the quarterback.
Well, maybe that's a little different.
That's where it kind of starts.
Anyway, Buffalo Bills, a love story. Said no one ever.
Bring out the blue cheese.
The most romantic of the condiments.
Blue cheese and Loganberry. Delicious.
Clearly. Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you, Manny Rodriguez, mm-hmm. Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan. Weedos and coffee drinkers, enjoy the rest of the Sweet 16 tonight. We'll see you Monday.